I'd like to invite our newest county board member, Dalton Gray, representing Troy and north of Troy, Pinoak Township, to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I know Mr. Dodd and Mr. Parkinson. Is Mr. Goggin absent today?
Mr. Petrillo is here.
Gotta let him know I'm here.
Is Jamie?
No, he's absent.
Okay. And Ms. Harris. Okay, so everybody is
okay. Thank you, Madam Clerk. If I could ask for a motion to approve the minutes from the May 16th meeting.
Yes.
Ms. Hawkinson?
Second.
Ms. Glasper? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Tonight, if we could start with the, we have awards for the Roxana Girls High School soccer team. If I could ask them to step forward. And I have a resolution here, a resolution honoring the Roxana High School Girls Soccer Team. Whereas the Roxana High School Girls Soccer Team finished its 2018 season capturing both the South Central Conference and the Class 1A regional titles, and whereas the girls soccer team finished the season with a 16-3-3 record and the most wins in Roxana High School's history, and whereas all conference recognitions were presented to players, of which several broke their own career goals, assists, and shutouts, and whereas Coach Lori Yates earned her 100th win of the season, and now therefore be it resolved that by the County Board of Madison County, Illinois, hereby recognizes the Roxana High School girls soccer team and Coach Lori Yates for their outstanding season in earning the first conference championship and second regional title, adopted this 20th day of June, 2018. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Who do I present this to?
If I could now move to the speakers, is Mark Magos, is he in the crowd? Yes, Mr. Magos, if you could please step forward. In the rules for speakers, it's that you are allowed 3 minutes, and I will tap the gavel after 2.5 minutes. You'll know then you have 30 seconds to wrap it up. And feel free then to leave your notes with Madam Clerk, and she can put that into the record. I do want to say to the crowd that we did have a lot of folks sign up to be speakers, and I want to say that we do have our rules as a maximum of 5, but I would encourage anyone who would like to make written comments to email your comments to the County Clerk's office by the end of the business day Friday. In your comments, your notes, letter will be added to the minutes of this meeting. Just want to let you know that. So, yes, Mr. Magos.
Thank you. What I'm speaking to is about the referendum to make Madison County a sanctuary county. Dear board officials and ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to quote from the most recent UCR. That's the FBI Uniform Crime Reporting Stats from the years 2012 to 2014. Nationwide, 11,004 people died by homicide. These stats do not include suicides or justifiable homicides. Handguns attributed to 65% of those, knives 14%, blunt objects such as hammers, clubs 5%, personal weapons, hands, feet, and fists 6%, rifles, that's all rifles, 4%. That's 30% less than hands, feet, and fists, and less than all the above weapons. Logic would dictate that if these anti-Bill of Rights people were really trying to save lives, they would go after handguns, knives, hammers, fists, and feet before trying to ban lawfully purchased and lawfully owned legal firearms, in effect making outlaws out of citizens practicing their Bill of Rights by owning a modern sporting rifle. For those that are uneducated, that's an assault rifle. But then that would be like eating an entire elephant in one bite, so what do? They go after what they consider the easiest piece to chew, the low-hanging fruit, so to speak, rifles. These groups, like Moms Demand Action, Brady Campaign, Every Town for Gun Safety, and others, make no qualms about what they're really after, which is banning all guns. They say they want common sense gun laws, but nowhere in their information does it say which guns they want banned and which ones they don't. Most anti-gun groups use this same subterfuge to get support and reach their real goal of banning all firearms. I've just described the slippery slope that the antis create by being disingenuous. Some people feel that if we just banned assault rifles, all will be well. The aforementioned statistics prove that wrong. There was nothing common sense about the gun ban passed in Deerfield. It was in violation of state law and now has a restraining order against it. In fact, here's a common sense law I'd like to see passed. Any law that any governing body creates that is contrary to the U.S. Constitution be a felony with penalties up to and including life imprisonment. I have three modern sporting rifles. One is for target and sport shooting, one is for hunting, one is for self-defense, and especially self-defense against a tyrannical government. God forbid I ever need to use that one. In total, those rifles have had 29,200 hours to commit a gun crime, but I guess they are defective, or maybe it's a people problem and not a gun problem. Furthermore, my method of how I defend my family, myself, and practice my Second Amendment right within the meaning and intention our wise forefathers wrote it is my business, no one else's, and shall not be infringed. Thank you, board members, for allowing me to speak, and thank you for your efforts in getting this issue in front of the voters.
Thank you. Is Mr. John Kraft in the audience? Mr. John Kraft. Is Ms. Sandra Loftus in the audience? Take your time.
Good evening. Hi, I'm Sandy Loftus from Granite City. Excuse me. This is very nerve-wracking, I want to tell you. And I got my wrong book, so you're going to have to wait. And I'm very slow. Is she being timed? Just teasing.
Okay. And Sandra, you will have a full 3 minutes. We give you one mulligan.
I appreciate that so much. Thank you. Thank you very much. I have been carrying, this yellow card around with me all week. And it has the advisory question on it and my grocery list on the other side. So what I would like to mention today about what's going on, and it is in regards to the referendum that we're wanting to put forth. I know that some want to ridicule some of us that are bothered by this advisory question, and quite honestly, I am one of those, and mostly because I say fake news. If you read this referendum, or this question, advisory question, and I'd like to do that now, I'd like to explain why. So, shall Madison County become a sanctuary county for law-abiding gun owners to protect them from unconstitutional gun laws passed by the Illinois General Assembly. And my first thing that I want to note on this comment is that the Illinois General Assembly does not pass laws, they pass bills. And there are currently two gun safety bills that have passed both the Illinois House and the Senate with bipartisan support. They have not even arrived on the governor's desk. Secondly, I'm concerned that the person who constructed this advisory question played judge and jury, declaring unconstitutionality of these bills against some advisement from some of my friends. They suggested that I not even talk about the gun bills, but I feel like I have to talk about one of them, and the reason that I want to talk about it is because it is an intersection between gun violence and mental illness. The bill is HB 2354, and it is a red flag bill. It's a carefully thought out bill that addresses, again, that intersection between gun violence and mental illness. And whether we are faced with extreme emotional breakdown or something organic like a brain tumor or dementia or Alzheimer's, it's something that can happen to any of us at any moment. So I would ask that you table the question, put it into a better language, because I think that if it got on the ballot in its current state, I think that a lot of people would be shaking their heads. So thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And consideration.
The next speaker is Nick Petroselli. Again, you have 3 minutes, and I will hit the gavel at 2.5 minutes so that you'll know you've got 30 seconds remaining.
Hello, my name is Nick, and I'm 13 years old, and I've come here today to speak against the issue to make Madison County a sanctuary county thing. I would just like to remind the board that there have been 23 school shootings just this year alone. That's about one school shooting per week. And there have 33 people have been killed and at least 30 have been injured. And I for one would not like to be in the next round of students that get shot or even killed. So I just like to ask the board, like, how many more people need be injured or even killed before we decide to enforce the law. So please, I ask you, board, to vote to enforce the law today. Thank you.
Thank you. Trish Oberweiss is our next speaker.
Thank you for hearing my comments, which are also about the gun sanctuary issue. Certainly, all of us can agree that no one is above the law. We all value law and order. Asking the voters for approval to set the law aside is contrary to everything that we stand for. You're authorizing permission for Madison County residents to place themselves above the law. Even symbolically, this is a grave error. It's not about guns, it's about the law. The law has provisions for the duties and responsibilities of various bodies of law, and inviting voters to set aside legitimately created law is outside the purview of this body. Moreover, it's a violation of the oath that each of you took to honor the Constitution of the State of Illinois, which lays out the authority of lawmaking bodies. Inviting voters to set aside the law sows confusion and is antithetical to the law and order values of the people in this county and on this board. We need order, we need law, and we need the rule of law. I love our Constitution as much as anyone does. We're all opposed to unconstitutional laws, but no one in this room has the authority to determine what is or is not constitutional, and no one in this room should have the authority to set the law aside on that basis. The balance of powers has given that authority to the courts. We should not even symbolically ask voters to set the law aside. Symbols can be reappropriated. This very initiative was a tongue-in-cheek effort to reappropriate exactly such a symbol. Please don't imagine that these symbolic actions will end here. It's a dangerous Pandora's box that runs counter to conservative values, runs counter to American law, and counter to democracy. We are a nation of laws. As stewards of the law, you must take great care to avoid a knee-jerk response to legitimately created legislation. Oppose it if your conscience calls you to do so, but take your time and use the legal avenues available. Opening the door for voters to choose which laws they wish to follow is short-sighted. This is a dangerous path to go down, and you are the gatekeepers, the ones entrusted to protect legal order. Please, uphold your oath and your duty to honor the system of law that defines us. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Because one speaker was not here this evening, because one speaker did not show up this evening, we can allow a sixth, another speaker, a fifth speaker, and we do that in order of when people sign up. And so the next person who signed up is Lydia Marti. Is Lydia Marti in the audience? The next person who signed up was Dr. Barbara Hosto Marti. Okay. If you could please come down, and you will be our final speaker. Again, you have 3 minutes.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. I was at the committee meeting on Monday and have since spent a lot of time thinking about the intention of this resolution. And I believe that the people who voted in favor of it have honorable intentions and intend to uphold portions of the Constitution. However, I ask you, before you make this final vote, to consider the unintended consequences of this particular resolution. First of all, my concern is with the misleading language that will appear on the ballot. As it's already been read, it calls upon Madison County to protect them from unconstitutional gun laws. Nowhere else in the body of this particular resolution does the word unconstitutional laws appear. In fact, what this resolution calls for, is the opposition to the passage of any bill where the Illinois General Assembly desires to restrict the individual rights of U.S. citizens as protected by the Second Amendment. That's any law. That would mean that if the Illinois General Assembly would want to reiterate that you can't own a bazooka or a grenade launcher, we would be obligated as a county to oppose that kind of restriction. And I don't think that that is even what the Supreme Court intended in Heller when they indicated the most broad interpretation of our Second Amendment. In fact, Heller made it clear that it did not intend to protect the right to keep or carry any weapon whatsoever in any manner whatsoever for whatever reason, and that laws, according to Heller, were to be assumed to be lawful. And so I ask you to really consider the legal implications and the financial implications that you will be placing Madison County under if you place this on the ballot. It will become a free-for-all for legal action. It probably wouldn't take me 24 hours to find a lawyer that would help me challenge the veracity of the language on the ballot. It would also obligate this county to protect any gun right owner who determines that a law passed by the General Assembly is unconstitutional, even though we as citizens don't possess the right to determine that. That resides with our courts. So I ask you to take the responsible action and not place this bill on consideration, even if, as I was reassured regularly during the committee meeting, that it's merely symbolic, because all we have to do is reflect upon how moved we were when we said the Pledge of Allegiance, that symbols are real and they're important. Thank you.
Thank you. I would like to move on to the appointments. And I would say that I'm pulling number one for the Madison County Flood Prevention District. I'm pulling that off the agenda. Are there any that...
Mr. Chairman.
Yes,
Mr.
Chapman.
I have a point of personal privilege. I'd like to make a point of parliamentary procedure to alleviate personal discomfort regarding the chair's previous mistakes regarding rules of debate. Two rules in question are speaking twice and two, closing debate. Specifically concerning point one, last meeting the chair failed to call on me a second time, stating Mr. Chapman has already spoken once and can't speak again. This was a misapplication of parliamentary rules. According to Robert's Rules of Order, a member can speak twice to the motion on the same day, but he or she can take the second turn only after everyone who wishes to speak the first time has spoken. If debate on the motion is continued at the next meeting, which is held another day, the member's right to debate is renewed. Concerning my second point, on several occasions the chair sought to end debate arbitrarily without allowing members to speak even once. The chair misapplied this rule without regard to party, as during the last meeting, the chair desired to prevent this right to both Mr. David Michael and to Mr. Mike Parkinson. I find this distressing, as it fails to allow all people an access to the floor as per the rules. Members can put limits on debate and even stop the debate altogether. To do so, members must make a motion. The presiding officer cannot cut off the debate as long as one member wishes to rise and speak. Neither can one member stop the debate by yelling out question or it's time to take a vote. Only the motion to limit debate can limit debate, and debate can be closed only by the motion previous question or closed debate. These motions need a second, are not debatable, and require a two-thirds vote to adopt. I'd like to present this to you and the chair for your reflection, and as parliamentary rules to be followed in the future, please.
Thank you. If I could go back to the appointments, would any of the members like to consider any of these appointments separately?
Yes, would, please.
Ms. Novosich.
Thank you. Mr. Chairman, I would like to see number 1A and B separate.
Number 1 is pulled.
Pulled completely?
Yes.
Number 2A, 4A, and 11A.
I'm sorry, 2A.
Yes, 4A.
4A.
And 11A.
Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
I have a different numbering.
Yeah, we got Madison County Mental Health as number one.
I'm sorry.
Let's start from the amended agenda.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Well, let me... What I'm pulling off the agenda is, to clarify, is the Madison County Flood Prevention District.
Correct.
What you may see is 2A. I have different numbering. Mm-hmm. Okay. Could we start again?
Yes, with 2A Madison County Flood Prevention District, 4A Metro East Sanitary District, and 11A Zoning Board of Appeals. And this is from the amended agenda.
11A?
Yes.
You have the amended one? I didn't print it out.
He already pulled it.
Okay, so let me just repeat that. 2A is pulled from the agenda. So we're talking about 4A is Metro East Sanitary District, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. And the other was Zoning Board of Appeals,
that's,
A?
That's correct.
Okay. Yes, Mr. Minner, I believe you had.
A.
Yes. On my agenda, I have 1A and B as the Mental Health Board.
Okay.
Okay. The mental health board on an amended agenda has been moved to later on the
later agenda. In the meeting.
Okay, so some good. Of your numbering hence changes.
Okay.
Okay. But you will be voting on those appointments, but later.
Very good. Thank
yes, you. Mr. Malone.
Mr. Chairman, I would also like to pull 10B.
The item number, tell us.
That's Wood River Drainage and Levee District A.
Levee District, Ron Canal replacing Steve Coach.
Okay, that, now that's different than what I have. I have, so, okay.
Could we please have the new amended to keep us straight? Because we're spending a whole lot of time here trying to keep track of this stuff.
Let's just be clear. Mr. Malone, you would like to separate out for separate consideration Ron Carnell, Wood River, Levee District. Okay. Yes. Any other? Okay. If I could then, all other appointments on
take
this
a motion
list.
To approve.
Yes. We have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. Let's go now to the first. This would be Metro East Sanitary District, Charlotte Dixon, recommended for appointment to a 5-year term to fill the vacant position. Any discussion?
Is that Madison County Flood Prevention?
I have Madison County Flood Prevention as the second thing on this agenda.
That's pulled from the agenda.
That's been pulled from your agenda. Chairman announced that at the beginning.
That's what's been pulled.
Yes, that's pulled.
But it was identified as number one, and I'm thinking most of us probably just marked on our sheet that 708 was moved. It
708
was
will be considered later in the meeting because we want to get to, because of the crowd that's here, we want to get onto some other business.
And I understand that, and it's not that I don't appreciate that. What I'm saying is this is getting a little bit confusing, and all of a sudden we're looking all around our sheet trying to figure out where exactly are we at.
Okay, so let me just to clarify. The two appointments to the 708 Mental Health Board will be considered later in the meeting. They're not considered at this point. So now we're considering, Ms. Novosich, Metro East Sanitary District.
Yeah, I have that as number four. We have
4A.
Yes, okay. I have that as 4A.
If we could now consider that, any discussion on the appointment of Charlotte Dixon, recommended for an appointment of 5-year term to fill a vacant position on the Metro East Sanitary District. Yeah, Ms. Novosich.
I would just like to comment on this. I know before the meeting we were given a piece of paper that was signed by her husband that he would resign from the Granite City Wastewater Treatment Board if she was approved for this committee. He is stating that he is a staunch Republican and she is a staunch Democrat. You know, whether that's true or not, I think this whole thing is just not going in the right direction. I am not for this appointment. I am not for this appointment at all. I have not been for this appointment since this the beginning, and I just wanted to state that.
Okay. Any other discussion?
Chairman.
Mr. Minner, yes.
Yes. I know that according to the rules, there's supposed to be so many Democrats and so many Republicans on this district. And Ms. Dixon was brought before us a few months ago, and she had never voted in a Democratic primary, and suddenly
she had never voted in a primary, period.
I know.
Yeah.
And so we had no way of knowing what her politics were. And after she was turned down, suddenly the first primary that came up, she did pull a Democratic Party. That doesn't set right with me. I'm sorry.
All I can say, Mr. Minner, is when I met her the first time, and this was some time ago, she stated that she had always been a Democrat. And I believe that because she said, I'm a Democrat and my husband's a Republican. And so I took her at her word. When I did put her up for appointment the first time, lo and behold, I went to the county clerk's office, and she had never voted in a primary at all. And so, yes, any other discussion? Mr. Holliday.
Is this not the seat that was in Gussie Glasper's district?
This is this seat. This person represents Madison County, which is the whole region that is in the Metro East Sanitary District. Basically, all of Venice Township, all of Granite City Township, all of, I would think, most of Namioke, if not all of Namioke Township, and I would say the majority of Shoto Township.
Mr. Chairman.
So
yes,
my question.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr.
Go ahead.
Yes, Ms. Glasper.
Mr. Chairman, again, on behalf of my constituents in the Madison-Venice area, I have continued, and I do continue to ask for representation for the Madison-Venice area, so I will be voting no on this appointment.
Okay. Yes. Mr. Asadorian.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I know the Dixons very well. I went to school with Mike, and comments made that he's a Republican is absolutely true, and comments made that she's a Democrat. I know that they don't agree politically on a regular basis, but I know them both well, and I'll be voting for Charlotte Dixon.
I have another statement.
If I could just...
I wasn't finished.
Yeah. Okay, Mr. Holliday, go
also,
ahead.
Also, is this not the seat that there's a bill saying that the mayor of Granite City will be taking this position?
There is a bill that passed both houses in the General Assembly, and it is waiting for the I could kind of summarize this. It's waiting for the governor to sign or veto, and that would take away one of Madison County seats and replace it with the mayor of Granite City.
So if we made this appointment tonight, it's not necessarily her that would go then.
It may be changed in the future, but if I think it's going to be Mr. Walters, if I could ask you, you're the most knowledgeable in Springfield. Would it be on the veto if the governor doesn't sign it? Would it be on the veto session in November?
It would go in November when they would. I mean, that's if they even call it. There's a chance they may not even call
yeah.
it.
Any additional comments? Mr. Chapman.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Concerning Ms. Dixon's political affiliation, that was of great concern to me as well because the rules must be followed. However, we did ask the state's attorney's office to give us a readout on this, whether in fact Ms. Dixon was a Democrat or not. And at a previous meeting, I went out of my way to ask state's attorney Tom Gibbons if she was, and the answer was yes, and there's no reason that she could not fill this seat as a Democrat.
Ms. Hawkins?
Yes, and since this was a position.
If I could ask you to speak into the microphone, please. Thank you. Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I too really have no reason not to feel that Ms. Dixon is qualified for this appointment. I know that last month there was discussion concerning the fact that maybe she wasn't from a certain area. I'd like to remind all the board members that this is a Metro East Sanitary District. This is not the Granite City, Venice, or Madison Sanitary District. So to me, placing a qualified individual based on merit and not where they're from should be a primary consideration whenever we take a vote.
Thank Any you. Other discussion of anyone who hasn't spoken yet? Ms. Gorman?
I just had a clarifying question. For a seat on this board, is there paid insurance for these positions?
In terms of what's been, first of all, I want to make sure that everyone knows that St. Clair County has two board members on this board of five. At the present time, there are two board members from St. Clair County, two board members from Madison County. And I think that was the past practice. I know that this has been of interest to this board, and Ms. Dixon has assured me that she does not need the insurance, she will not take the insurance, and she's personally against that practice, but that is the decision of the MESD board. And I know that they have a, Doug, would you like to explain their insurance, how it's one policy that's purchased through the union or something like that? So,
well, you know, again, it's up to the board. I think Ms. Dixon has said she doesn't want the insurance, and I think the two members from St. Clair do want the insurance, so certainly if they want to make a change, they're going to need three votes.
Mr. Petrillo, I think you wanted to speak.
Yes, I do. I've spoken with some people that know Charlotte Dixon. I do not know her myself, but I wanted to get a feel for knowing Mike exactly how she works. And each of the people I talked had no problem recommending her as to take that position. That she's very open-minded, a very good business lady, and does a very fine job. I will say this, I'm somewhat in a quandary because I also think that Venice and Madison, those areas should have some representation. And when we talk about the Metro East, I think it's probably been kind of a foregone conclusion, whether it's absolutely correct or not correct, but it's kind of the bottoms area that have to deal with everything that flows and has to deal with that. And those people have a much better idea of what they have to deal with than people further to the east, if you will. So I think I don't look at this necessarily as a county position as much as an area within the county position. But that's how I feel. I'll be voting for Charlotte.
Any additional people who haven't spoken? Ms. Novosic, you wanted to speak again?
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify a rumor that I heard. I heard that her husband wanted off the wastewater treatment board anyway. It was stated that he had mentioned that he didn't realize what he was getting into, especially after the vote recently, whenever they voted to not decrease the rates of the constituents that pay into special service area and Granite City Regional. So I, you know, that's a thing that I was told that he was going to resign anyway. So,
any additional discussion? Yes, Mr. Asadorn.
Just one more comment, and in accordance with Mr. Petrillo had said, this is a regional thing. It's paid by tax dollars collected regionally. I don't believe people in Hartford or people in Alton or wherever in the county, Highland or any place else, pay taxes into this district. So it wouldn't be right to not have somebody from this district representing that district. You know, somebody from Edwardsville or somebody from wherever should not be making decisions.
And it's not possible. The law requires that the person that goes, that anyone who's on this board must live within the area. They must be paying, well, they must live within the area that's paying taxes to the Metro East Sanitary District. I estimate a population of 50,000 people. So any additional questions? Hearing none, roll call.
Could I get you to confirm your vote?
Sorry, I didn't know we were voting.
Chairman, the motion carries.
Motion carries. I think if we could go now to the Ron Carnell, the Wood River Drainage and Levee District. This is Ron Carnell. Recommended for appointment of a three-year term replacing Steve Cochin. Any discussion?
Yes, I
Mr. do. Pollard?
Yeah, I know elections have consequences, and I'm sure this Mr. Carnell is a fine man, but this appointment bears a lot of responsibilities. I know that this district, the Levee District, entangles a lot of different board members, but it sets
Can you speak
right in the middle of my district. So I've witnessed firsthand Mr. Cochin's leadership and dedication, especially in the flood season. And I don't know if any of some of you might not know this, but he was my opponent 4 years ago for this very seat. And although we've certainly had our differences in the past, this isn't one of them. So if this vote doesn't go his way, I'd like to thank him for his service to the county. However, in my opinion, he needs to be reappointed and not replaced. Thank you.
Any other comments?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Walters.
I have a little bit of knowledge of this board. Back in, I think, 2007, they doubled the taxes. And the gentleman that were running it, we had several people there, including businesses and individuals, and we were asking questions. And the comments that came from the gentleman were, I don't know, you'll have to ask Leroy. Him and me, we're just here. So I do give a lot of credit to Chairman Dunston, who changed the mentality of the people that went onto that board, because they did double the taxes. And with that was the knowledge that any additional money was to be set aside for future problems. And Mr. Cochin has done a decent job, but in Mr. Cochin's first comments as he got on the board was to in the county we did a 2-2-2. Mr. Cochin's comments were, we're going to do 4-4-4. We just got a whole bunch of money in here, so let's spend it. Now, I'm sorry, but when you're put on a board and you were told the money that comes in additional should be set aside for future problems, and the first thing he does is wants to double what we're giving raises here. And again, I give kudos to, at that time, Jeff Davis was on there. He contacted Chairman Dunston. Chairman Dunston informed Mr. Cochin that he was opposed to those 4% raises, and they went back down to 2%. So I have a real problem with people that are trying to do that with money behind the scenes. Mr. Carnell will do a fine job. And, you know, as you said, elections have consequences, and I'm sorry. Steve is a nice guy. Get along with him. But I've been involved with this, watching this board since 2007 and the stuff they've been doing, and there's a lot of good people on there. And I give extra kudos to Jeff Davis and Gary Osborne, who's stepping down tonight, for holding the line on some of the spending. I think it's time for a new person in there. Thank you for letting me.
Any additional discussion?
Yeah, actually,
yes, Mr. Pollard.
It was my discussion with Jeff Davis about not giving the 4% raises, and they did not. So,
okay.
And that's just all I want to say.
Any additional discussion? Hearing none. Roll call.
Chairman, yes.
Okay.
Second. Second, please.
Second.
Roll call. Motion carries. We do have one more to be individually considered, and that's, I believe, George Ellis for the Zoning Board of Appeals, replacing John Janik, whose term expired. Any discussion? Yes, Mr. Chapman.
I know Mr. Ellis. He's a fine individual. He's very logical. He's a great citizen, and I think he would be a fine addition to this board.
Any additional discussion? Hearing none, I would entertain a motion to approve. We have a motion and a second. Roll call.
Kind of slow.
Motion carries. We do have committee changes, which Mr. Ezra tells me that I must have these approved. This has never been done in my memory, or in, I'll just quote Madam Clerk, that this hasn't been done in the past, but because Mr. Ezra is requiring that, we're doing it this evening. So,
point of order, sir. If I understand correctly, the rules require that the board approve any appointments to the board, to these committees, period. So I think it would not exactly be fair to say that it's an arbitrary decision by the state's attorney's office. And this is one of the rights of the board, and I certainly, as one of the board members, insist on it.
Any additional discussion on these?
May want to tell everybody who's. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump in. Just tell them who's on there because my name's on there for personnel, and you said I'm not going on that. So,
well,
Mr. Chairman, there's two names that aren't on there. I believe you contacted us.
Yes, I'm sorry, Mike. You must have an older agenda. So what we're doing is we're I could just read them, or I think does everyone have the? I think that's the only change.
Why don't you just read it because
okay.
The amended is different.
Okay, number one, Mick Madison, new chairman of Planning and Development, replacing Brad Maxwell.
Pardon me, a point of order. Did we vote on all the other appointments in the first section?
No.
Then I would like to call for the orders of the day and return to the agenda as we should, humbly.
We vote on everybody but 708.
Okay.
Yes.
Asked the question, have we voted on all the people in the first section? That's
yes.
Yes, we have. Except for the 708 Madison County Mental Health Board, and we're going to consider that later in the meeting because we want to get to the discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
So the committee changes. Number two, temporarily remove Jim Dodd from Health and Personnel Labor Relations due to medical leave. Number three, remove Jim Dodd from Facilities. Number four, add Dalton Gray to Facilities, Government Relations, Personnel, Planning and Development. Number five, add James Futrell to Information Technology. Number six, add Art Asadorian to Personnel. Number seven, add Don Moore to Personnel. Number eight, and add Ann Gorman to Personnel. I would like to bring this in with a voice vote. All in favor?
A motion to approve.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. If now we could go to switch over to, and let me go back to my other agenda here. The Government Operations Committee, Mr. Don Moore, if you could please bring in the.
Why are you dropping down so far?
No, we'd like to go directly to the Government Operations Committee. Mr. Don Moore, if you could please bring in the resolution to present an advisory public question via a countywide referendum in the matter of supporting Second Amendment rights.
Point of order,
Mr. Chairman.
Why are we changing the agenda again?
Because first of all, I mentioned that at the beginning of the meeting, but because most of the people here in the audience are for this, and okay. So this is just as a convenience.
Mr. Chairman, I believe we could satisfy this by simply making a motion to amend the agenda to move item.
Okay, I would ask for a motion to amend the agenda to consider now the resolution with the Government Operations Committee.
That's all you got to do.
I'll make that motion.
Mr. Walters, second. Mr. Futrell, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. So, Mr. Moore, if you could please bring in the resolution on the Second Amendment issue.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, the Government Relations Committee previously discussed and approved the resolution to present an advisory public question via a countywide referendum in the matter of supporting Second Amendment rights. I move that we adopt the recommendation of the Government Relations Committee that states the question, shall Madison County become a sanctuary county for law-abiding gun owners to protect them from unconstitutional gun laws passed by the Illinois General Assembly?
We have a motion. We have a second. Any discussion? Ms. Gorman.
Yeah. Chairman, fellow county board members, we've had significant discussion on this proposed resolution supporting Second Amendment rights. I've attended numerous committee meetings, participated in meetings with multiple concerned citizens, fielded many phone calls, and read the summary sheet that was put together for us. I'm asking all of my fellow board members to carefully consider our actions because we have not one, but I think two issues to discuss and to consider independently. The first is the Second Amendment rights. The second piece of the resolution is establishing us as a Madison County, as a sanctuary county. Second Amendment rights, I was in the meeting, and I think I've told you, I have my FOID card. My son is a trap shooter. I actually own the gun, although he may argue with me that he owns it. So I'm not against Second Amendment rights. Sanctuary County, I'm a resident. I've been here most of my life. And I have significant concerns about opening, as somebody said earlier, Pandora's box. Many feel strongly that this issue be decided by the public via a question on the November ballot. Prior to making that decision, I think that you each should do your due diligence, if you haven't already, vet the issues with your constituents in an open forum, and clearly understand the potential ramifications of opening Pandora's box. If you read that question the way it's currently stated, it's very confusing and it's misleading. And I'm going to propose that we table this issue, take it back to the committee, and reword the question if you choose to move this forward.
Ms. Gorman, are you making a motion to table?
I'm making a motion to table this.
Second.
Second.
Could we have a motion on the floor to table in a second? Any discussion?
I need a second.
Second.
Okay. There's no discussion on a motion to table.
I have a question.
He's quicker.
I have a point of information. References, whether we table it or move ahead, I'd like to ask the state's attorney's office a couple of questions. The first question is, would this advisory non-binding referendum, in your opinion, could it lead us to, first of all, is it legal? Is it legally sufficient? And second of all, would it lead to multiple lawsuits, as some of its detractors assert?
The question is somewhat ambiguous, but I will tell you, as Mr. Futrell has indicated, and he is the primary mover and shaker behind this, there are 10 other counties or 8 other counties that have passed a similar advisory opinion. The language is exactly the same as those other ones. He requested of us to take a look at it to see whether it passed muster, notwithstanding whether it is and will get a fight or not. The question can be placed on the ballot, presumably in the manner in which it is. However, I point out that notwithstanding the fact that it has been approved for being placed on the ballot, there is a potential for the claim that we are putting the cart before the horse with regard to the unconstitutional aspect of it by saying that any rules, regulations, laws in the legislature that deal with Second Amendment are already considered to be violative of the Constitution. Having said that, the way it's written, it can be placed before the populace.
And to your knowledge, sir, let me a follow-up question. To your knowledge, in these other counties where this is passed by referendum, has it occasioned numerous lawsuits, as some of the detractors assert that this will?
Honestly, I have not looked into that. I'm not aware of any, but I haven't been asked to look into it.
Thank you, sir.
Mr. Chairman, can these questions be directed in committee and not in open session here, please? The motion, I believe, is to refer back to committee, and that would be...
Is it to table or is it to
table? The motion is to table.
The motion is to table. Motion is to table.
Could someone please read the motion so we know exactly what it says, please?
Is it to table, Ann?
The motion is to table this resolution.
Well, it was to table the resolution with the intent of rewriting the question if you decided to move it forward.
So your motion, you would be fine with clarifying?
Table the motion as it's presented, but then if the committee wants to readdress it, they can, right, Ann?
The motion to table is not debatable. We've heard from Mr. Ezra. But, so we do have a motion on the floor. It's been seconded, and I would like to call for a roll call.
Point of this information, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
With all due respect to Mr. Ezra, thank you for helping in your time. But this resolution is not exactly the same as the other counties who have passed a similar resolution. Their counties have actually passed it at the board level. We are going to our voters. So that is the difference. And just to address that as a point of
that, Mr. Fucciello is absolutely correct on that. That's
again,
correct.
Again, Mr. Chairman, we're debating this.
But we do have a motion and a second, and I'm calling for a roll call vote on the motion to table this resolution. Motion fails. So now let's return to any discussion on the original amendment. Mr. Asadorian.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members, on four occasions, I've had the honor of taking the oath here. Hopefully it's going to be five. To uphold the Constitution of the state of Illinois. Now, it doesn't say as it's written because that's just naturally assumed. And if the Constitution or the laws of the state change, I'm under obligation to uphold those new laws or revised Constitution. That's what we're here for. We are representatives of the people to uphold the Constitution, whether it's the federal Constitution, state Constitution, whether it's our local ordinances. If we live like I do in Granite City, their local ordinances. I would hate for us to pass something here as a resolution, and since Hartford's in my district, I'll use Hartford as an example, for them to say, well, we want to freeze that the way it is, and if you change it later on, we don't have to abide by it, because we're Hartford, and we're part of Madison County, and we could do that. And then Hartford does it, and Roxana does it, and Collinsville does it, and Grant City, and next thing you know, everybody's wanting to freeze things as they are because they like the law as it's written. We have to live within our laws, whether we like them or not. We want to make changes. We have the obligation and the right to do that on Election Day. We have the obligation and the right to call our state representatives, our state senators, and talk to them. But for us to put this question, which is confusing and poorly written, it's written in a manner that would automatically pass. Nobody wants to allow anybody to do anything unconstitutional. It's ridiculous the way this is written. It's like we're going to sneak something by the voters. I don't like that. It needs to be reworded. And in order to reword it, it needs to go back to the committee. So I would hope that we would vote it down, let the committee readdress it, and clear up the language, because it sounds like we're lying to the people.
Mr. Madison.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I find it kind of ironic that I'm hearing a lot of people saying that we need to do what's right for the people and follow the Constitution when that's exactly what this does. It lets the people send a message to Illinois, who, as a reminder, hasn't always followed the Constitution in our history. It allows them to send a message. We want you to follow the U.S. Constitution, which supersedes the Illinois Constitution. And I think that's exactly what this does. It lets the people have their say. It's not a bunch of talking head politicians saying it. It is the people who we are here to represent and uphold the Constitution for. I have several supporters from my district in the audience today. They didn't get the opportunity to speak, but one of them asked if I would read this short statement. I told him that I would. His name is Rich Rule. He's in Foster Township. He says he's appalled at what's being done to his home state by the politicians in Springfield. These are people that were elected to uphold the Constitution of both the state and country. Instead, many of them are following their own agenda. This has to stop. By passing this resolution, we will get to send them a message regarding one of our inalienable rights delineated by the Second Amendment, the right to keep and bear arms. I implore you to vote yes and put this resolution on the ballot so that we, the voters, can send Springfield a message that we will not give up this right.
Thank you. Mr. Malone?
Thank you, Chairman. I am not a lawyer. I do not have a PhD. but I have studied and taught the Constitution for well over 30 years. And one of the first things I teach my students is the separation of powers and checks and balances. Legislatures make laws, executives enforce, and it's the role of the courts to interpret. I don't want to take away any of the speaker's guns this evening, but I'm very concerned to go around saying that we can decide what's unconstitutional and what isn't. I understand Mr. Madison's concern that the people in Springfield, I believe my representative, voted against all those bills. So I have a very powerful concern that we are in danger of destroying one of the basic fabrics of a representative democracy, a system of checks and balances and the separation of powers, by saying that we can decide what's unconstitutional and what isn't. Whether it's about guns, whether it's about gay marriage, whether it's about abortion, we have courts that do that. And yes, I know it takes a long time to go to the courts. I've had laws passed about teachers that I'm not very happy about, and sometimes we fight those in court because we think they're unconstitutional. But I have a very, very tough problem voting for this, not because it's guns, because I think it violates a basic principle of what our country's founded on.
Thank you. Mr. Minner? Mr. Minner?
Mr. Chairman, I oppose this sanctuary county. I see nothing that anyone's going to do with your Second Amendment that's going to take your rights away. When this Second Amendment was written, 1789, people were lucky to have muskets. And we already have rules and regulations on machine guns, although the manufacturers have made our rifles into machine guns, so they'd get away with that. But I just cannot see us becoming a sanctuary county. I'm proud of this county, and that embarrasses me.
I'm sorry, Ms. Gorman. It's hard to see Ms. Champulli. Sometimes she's been waving her hand. Ms. Champulli.
Mine is on the number two resolution. If I vote yes for that, is that for it to be denied? For the resolution to... is this going on the ballot or not?
That's the resolution that we're considering at this time.
No, the resolution to place the public question for...
This is for the matter supporting the Second Amendment rights. That's what we're discussing right
and
now.
And we're only discussing that? We didn't
yes,
include
only.
One and two?
No.
I thought we did.
Just one.
We didn't separate
we're
it
just
out.
On one.
Just discuss. We're discussing.
He did.
Only been one resolution so far.
Yes. There's only, Mr. Moore only brought in the one resolution. Okay, that's the only resolution we're discussing. Yes, Ms. Gorman.
Yeah, there was a key point that was brought up, and it said the difference is that in these other counties that approved this, it was the county board. If we're going to take this to the people, I personally believe that we owe it to the people to have a question that is not misleading and is unbiased. So I would ask that we take some time to look at this question and make sure it's a fair question. The way it's written, I can't imagine anybody would vote no. If there's something unconstitutional, I think everybody here would agree that we'd vote for it. So the question needs to be rewritten.
Mr. Wesley?
Yes, if I'm not mistaken, I believe this is an advisory, non-binding resolution. It doesn't enact any laws. It doesn't go against any laws or the Constitution. It's simply an advisory resolution to get the opinions of the county residents on this issue.
Why is it called a sanctuary?
Advisory or not, it should be questions.
Pardon me, Mr. Chairman. The rule states you can speak twice after everybody else has spoken once. And I would like to please go by a point, those points of order, please. Before anybody gets to speak twice, everybody else is supposed to at least been offered to speak once. That's the rule.
Mr. Chapman, I was actually going to permit you to speak next. So you wanted to speak on this issue?
Well, you're very kind.
But only once right now.
And after Thank everybody's you. Finished.
A non-binding resolution is a written motion adopted by a deliberative body that cannot progress into law. Well, obviously, the people are not a deliberative body, but it will not carry the force of law. It's simply asking them their opinion. And tonight, the board considers placing a non-binding advisory referendum concerning the Second Amendment gun rights on the fall ballot. This remains a controversial and emotional issue. The Second Amendment, part of the Bill of Rights, remains one of the crown jewels of our democracy and one of our country's great heirlooms, which must be honored and carefully preserved. The Founding Fathers believed God-given natural rights exist independently of the government and can never be abrogated. The Second Amendment reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. The Second Amendment guarantees an individual the right to bear arms independently of a militia for traditionally lawful purposes, Washington, D.C. versus Heller, 2008. Additionally, the Supreme Court found in McDonald versus the City of Chicago, 2010, the right of the people to keep and bear arms applies to state and local governments as well as the federal government. Our Declaration of Independence states, we hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal, endowed with certain unalienable rights, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men and women, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Whenever any form of government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people to alter or abolish it. Given the increasing power of government and the God-given natural right to protect oneself, property, and constitutional freedoms by force, I want to hear what the people have to say in a non-binding advisory referendum this fall. I think this referendum is a First Amendment right that all interested citizens who are voters should be able to speak on.
Thank you. Mr. Petrillo?
I'm going to vote no on this, and the reason I'm going to vote no is in part of what I heard today by our first two speakers, who I believe were probably in separate camps, if you will, but yet they both kind of stated the same thing. They had some real problems with how this was stated and how it's presented. That's one of the problems I have, and is... Yes. Mr. Chapman just stated, that's a right that we have. So why are we talking about approving a right that we already have? We have avenues to address that. But not only the first two people, which I thought did an excellent job, but also I think it was the next to the last person, young lady, that addressed. I think she had some very good points that need to be expressed. I think this is where we need to listen to people, and instead of us trying to make some kind of wave or headway, possibly for political reason, I don't know, possibly, but here we have people that have real concerns, and they both appear to me to be in separate camps, but yet their verbiage was saying they don't like the way this is stated. And that's why I'm going to vote no on this.
Thank you. Ms. Novosich.
Thank you, Chairman. I, too, am voting no. I am also a firearms owner. I have a FOID card. I have a concealed carry license. I am for people being able to protect themselves and upholding the Constitution. I believe that whenever I took the oath of this office, every time I've taken oath of this office, one of the biggest things is to honor the Constitution and as it's presented to us. I do not like the way that the advisory question reads to the voters. I, too, think it is very confusing. Whenever you say unconstitutional, there's not anybody in this world, in this room, that wants to do something that would be unconstitutional. I really believe that. And so I wanted to just bring that up because I am for people owning guns, but I am not for this the way it's presented. Thank you.
Mr. McRae.
Yes, sir, Mr. Chairman. I think that the genesis for this movement that's been passed in 8 to 10 other counties, as Mr. Ezra referred to, is because the Second Amendment rights were infringed upon in certain communities, like Deerfield, Illinois. They decided that certain weapons were going to be confiscated. And the citizens were given a deadline to turn them in, they're really going to make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. And so I think this isn't a paranoid reaction. I think this is a non-binding referendum that's going to send a message to from the citizens of Madison County to our legislators to say this is really a right that is protected by the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, that people really do care about and they're very passionate about. And we could probably reword it 100 different ways. But the fact is it's non-binding, and it does give the opportunity for the citizens of Madison County to send a message to our legislature, and I'm going to vote for it. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Moore?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I think that we're all aware there are a number of bills that are moving across the legislature to tighten down on the Second Amendment rights. They maybe haven't been passed yet, but to me the wording in this resolution is clear to me. It's protecting from unconstitutional gun laws passed. They maybe haven't happened yet, but they could be passed in the future. I think what's important, though, even though there's been comments made, there's nothing existing yet to stand up and say we're a sanctuary county, but we want to send around uprange to Northern Illinois, let them know that we have a different view down here in the southern part of the state, and we do not want future laws to whittle away and infringe upon our Second Amendment rights. Now, I don't know if anyone's aware of this, but there's advocates out there that are actively trying to take away our guns. You can laugh if you like, but there are groups that's their main purpose in life. Just as of a couple months ago, Merriam-Webster Dictionary changed the definition for an assault rifle. In the past, it was a weapon with large capacity magazines. Now it's a magazine-fed military rifle, such as AK-47. And don't think that's any different than the AR-15, because that's going to be next in the definition. So they're tightening down on that already. It used to be there was no mention of a rifle's range. Now they're talking about intermediate range, which is what an AR-15, AK-47, fall into. There used to be automatic or semi-automatic rifles. Now it allows only semi-automatic fire. So they're tightening down on the weapons that we all cherish and hunt with and protect our families with. So don't think there's not an encroachment on our right, the Second Amendment. I do think it's important that we send the message up north to let them know how we feel down here. And I will also reiterate that we talked about this being a non-binding resolution. We have in the past expressed our voice for non-binding resolution at a board. And there's also been concern that if there is a law passed that we don't agree with, and we pass being a sanctuary county, the sheriff is still going to uphold those laws. He's not going to deviate or not uphold a law that the Illinois state passes. So that's really a non-issue in my mind.
Thank you. Mr. Futrell?
Yes, just speak to a couple things here tonight. It is my opinion that the opposition has said tonight many times misleading language. However, they're the ones indeed presenting misleading language. This resolution is no different than the resolutions this body passed in 2017 with regard to the electronic gaming at Illinois racetracks, and the 2005 resolution expressing opinions of the county board with regard to medical insurance rates. Okay, so that's exactly what this is doing. So that's to speak to the misleading language, so to speak. And some of you would say I would call fake news on that, and I call fake news on that. Furthermore, Mr. Chairman, current proposed legislation, House Bill 1465, is a possible violation of the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, requiring reasonable persons under 21 to lawfully surrender firearms or face becoming instant felons, fails to define how to relinquish firearms, only allows possession at Sparta, and so on and so on. 1467 is also a potential infringement upon the Fourth Amendment, requiring persons to immediately relinquish lawfully owned bump stocks or trigger cranks. And for any of you who have any idea about how firearms work, those mechanisms are not special to how you could use your belt loop or rubber band or a water bottle to formulate a mechanism. Furthermore, House Bill 1469 is a potential violation of the Fourth Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, requiring persons to immediately relinquish lawfully owned magazine, fails to provide how to properly relinquish ban. So I think you get the point. Okay, we are making a statement. This is a simple expression of the voters' opinion. As I mentioned earlier in response to the point of information for Mr. Ezra, this is nothing to what the other counties are doing. We are letting our voters have the final say. Thank you.
Anyone who has not spoken, Mr. Holliday?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have some excerpts from a Lucas Michelionis Fox News report. It says, multiple rural Illinois counties have passed resolutions establishing a so-called sanctuary for gun owners in a bid to thwart the state legislators' efforts to enact stricter gun control. At least five counties declared themselves sanctuary counties for gun rights, co-opting a word that most conservatives associate with the liberal policy of ignoring federal immigration laws. The resolution aims to send a message to the Democrat-controlled legislature in the state that if it passes the proposed gun bills, such as increasing the minimum age for owning a gun or bump stock ban, the counties will instruct their employees to ignore the new laws. It's a buzzword, a word that really gets attention. With all these sanctuary cities, we just decided to turn it around to protect our Second Amendment rights. That was by David Campbell, Vice Chairman of Effingham County Board.
Would anyone else like to speak before Mr. Asadorian? You'd like to speak for a second time. Would anyone like to speak for the first time, Mr. Walters?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate it. I've read this. This is probably one of the most simple things I've ever seen put on a ballot. I've read most of the ones that have been put on by our state legislature, mostly led by Mike Madigan, and it would take a rocket scientist to figure out what Mr. Madigan was trying to get done. So to say that this is something that's difficult to read, I've been reading these things for 18 years. This is one of the most simple, easy-to-understand votes you're ever going to make. Separation of powers, I agree we have separation of powers. People say take gun rights away. I don't know if anybody know this, but during Illinois passed many anti-gun bills, so much so that the U.S. Supreme Court finally came in and said, you have until next year to correct those anti-gun, anti-Second Amendment laws, or you will start losing federal money. So when people say they're not out to take your guns away, yes, they are. And as Mr. Pollard said earlier, elections have consequences. Had it gone the other way, I can guarantee you that we wouldn't have had Gorsuch as the Supreme Court justice, and I will guarantee you that Second Right Amendments would have started being knocked out. Because if you look at a lot of these, they're 5-4, 6-3. So you have U.S. Supreme Court justices that take the oath to uphold the U.S. Constitution that specifically go in there, and they do not uphold it. They've said we should take into consideration foreign law. I didn't know that was part of your oath, to take in foreign law. It is to take into consideration the U.S. Constitution. This state has become extremely anti-gun. This sends a message to the people, mostly up north, that we are sick and tired of our gun rights being taken away from us. And I think that, as we said, this is a non-binding resolution. It, you know, as Mr. Ezra said, anybody can sue anybody for any reason they want to. But this is a nice way to send a message to Springfield and to Chicago that we are sick and tired of you abusing our rights and taking away our Second Amendment rights. And I'm sorry, they do it every year. And like I said, when Governor Quinn was in there, they were finally told, stop it, get rid of them, or you're going to start losing federal money. And let me tell you, it took them right up to the last day to pass it. So, Mr. Vertrell, I thank you for bringing this forward and the fact that you're letting the people decide. Thank you.
Now, I think, would anyone like to speak for the first time? I think Mr. Assidori, Mr. Minner, you're requesting to speak the second time. Mr. Minner?
I'd just like to ask one question, Mike. Do you know anybody in this state that has been had their gun taken away?
Do I know anybody that's had their... Yeah, I don't know anybody that's had their guns taken away, but I can tell you this much. The people... They haven't had them taken away because of the U.S. Supreme Court has stopped them. So I'm sorry that you didn't let me finish it. The U.S. Supreme Court, had it not been for them, people would have had their gun confiscated. I know an Illinois senator that had a gun that he was carrying. And when he left home, it was legal. He was going in through Chicago and got pulled over. Oh, I take it back. Yeah, he did get his gun taken away from him. So okay. There are county laws that have tried to supersede state laws. So I apologize. Yes, I do know somebody that got their gun taken away
from
them.
I'm sorry. If you could, other questions, if you could please address the chair, Mr. Assidorian.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. Mr. Walters just brought up a good point that the Supreme Court interceded. The Supreme Court, the courts of our land, made a decision that what Illinois was doing was wrong. Illinois was forced to correct it. The Supreme Court, the proper jurisdiction to handle such events. I'm sorry, I put a lot of faith in the people of Madison County. I put a lot of faith in the people in my district. But you know what? When I read unconstitutional gun laws, I would vote against that. I wouldn't want anything unconstitutional. The language is a political blurb to get something done on a political nature. And to say that, you know, that's all this is, folks. It's political. And we are lying to the people when we use this term, do you want unconstitutional laws in our state? No, nobody does. Clean up the language. Don't hide around. Don't go around it. Come out. Be transparent. That's what you guys are talking about all the time, right? Transparency. This is not transparent. So clear up the language, and let's move on.
I think we've had a full discussion. If there's no objection, Mr. Chaplin, would you like to speak one more time?
I would.
I'm sorry. I think there's only, twice that we can speak on an issue?
And I have spoken once on this issue.
Mr. Chapman's only
once?
Spoken once on the issue.
I apologize, Mr. Chapman.
No problem, Ms. Gorman. This non-binding resolution does not seem to me to be lying to anybody. I do see it as allowing people to speak at the ballot box. I do not think it is written automatically to pass. I think people are pretty smart. The voters are pretty smart. After all, they elected us. So, you know what? I think they can figure out this resolution and make their wishes known. And this non-binding advisory resolution does not make the sheriff or the state's attorney, pardon me, start breaking the laws and not enforcing the laws. That is absolutely not true. So those are a few points during the debate that I picked up on that I wanted to be clear about from my viewpoint.
Thank you. Is there anyone else who would like to speak? Hearing none, roll call.
Mr. Chair, this is a roll call to determine if we're going to table this issue or not?
No, not to table. Vote is to... to put this advisory public question on the ballot. That's what this vote is. So if everyone could vote on this.
Motion carries.
I'd like to return to the regular agenda here, to the County Institutions Committee. Ms. Dutton, if you would please bring in the resolution to realign the Mental Health Board member terms.
Thank you. I agree. Thank you.
Where do we go now?
I agree with you. Thank you.
Okay. Let me just back up a little bit, and Mr. Moore, if there's a second resolution, if we would like to go forward, and if you would please introduce that resolution. This is the resolution to place a public question on the November 2018 ballot for consideration in the matter of the property tax extension limitation law.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, board members, Government Relations Committee held PTEL discussions at both the May and June committee meetings. At the June meeting, the committee voted and decided not to adopt the resolution to place a public question on the November 6, 2018 ballot as follows. Shall the property tax extension limitation law 35 ILCS 200/18-185 through 18-245, which limits annual property tax extension increases, apply to non-home rule taxing districts with all or a portion of their equalized assessed valuation located in Madison County, yes or no? I move that we accept the committee's recommendation to not adopt this resolution. For clarification, a vote of yes would agree with the committee's unanimous decision not to place PTEL referendum on the ballot. A vote of no would disagree with the committee.
Second.
Do I have a second? Mr. Chapman.
Chairman, can I ask a question? Is Ms. Jampoli gone for this?
Yes.
Vote?
Yes, she is.
She had to go to a...
Yes, she has.
She went to a service.
Yeah, she did notify me before the meeting. I'm sorry.
Give us an opportunity to make that.
Can we get a clarification on the motion, please?
Can I have a clarification on that? It says
yes.
It's a resolution to place. We should probably vote no if we don't
That's
want
what
it.
Said.
Exactly. Yes.
Well, you just said vote
no.
Yes.
Well, Mr. Moore, the way Mr. Moore presented it, it's a motion to not put it on the ballot.
My understanding is, if I'm wrong, Mr. Ezra, that since the committee voted not to adopt it and recommend moving forward to place it on the ballot, that a vote of yes would agree with that non-placement and adopt that resolution.
Is that, yeah. That is a little confusing. Is that clear that a vote of yes, as the way Mr. Moore made the motion, would be not... Could you repeat the motion, Mr. Moore?
Wouldn't it be easier to say vote against it?
Yes vote would deny.
A yes vote would not put it on the ballot. It may be easier, Mr. Assadorian, but that's the motion.
Okay. Well,
I mean, some might think it's easier, but just let's be real clear. Mr. Moore,
I think according to Robert's rules, as well as I understand them, that since the committee did not adopt the resolution, that a vote of yes would agree with us.
Well, I guess my question, Mr. Chairman, where'd this come from then? If it didn't come from the committee, why are we considering it?
This resolution was brought to the county board under new business, and it was referred to committee. Committee took action. Now they're bringing it back to the board for a final vote.
Okay, but if the committee, according to Mr. Moore, doesn't want this.
Correct.
Right?
Correct.
Then why did they bring it to us?
Mr.
If I may, a committee cannot take final action. Only the board can take final action. The fact that it was denied in committee does not mean that that doesn't come to you, because you have to, only you can make final action on a resolution. Notwithstanding whatever anybody has said in the past, whether we did or not, the bottom line is that when a resolution is presented in a committee and is accepted or rejected, it still must come before you, because only you can make final action on a resolution.
Thank you for that clarification. So if we vote yes, that means we're
it won't be
not
on a
putting
ballot.
This on the ballot.
But do we have a motion? Do we have a second?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Jones.
If I don't understand, if it gets voted down in committee, then we won't, it still comes to us. I mean, why do we have committees then?
As recommendations, and that's exactly why when anybody gets up and says we recommend that the board accept or deny.
or in this case many times accept. Planning and development, this committee, this board on numerous occasions has agreed with a negative recommendation of planning and development on any number of different resolutions to deny. And that's all we're doing, except it should be applied universally to every committee as opposed to just planning and development, which we've done in the past. The bottom line is that only you can undertake final action. A committee cannot.
Mr. Chairman.
Oh. By the way, if I may, I apologize. If it's tabled in committee, it never gets here, right? There are things that can be done in a committee.
That's what should have happened.
That to stop it from getting here. But once it is voted on in a committee, it has to come to you.
Mr. Chapman.
I will not vote. I will vote yes to uphold the negative vote on PTEL. The state legislature originally passed PTEL for the purpose of tempering spiraling property tax rates. PTEL will create higher taxes. PTEL is flawed. Currently, PTEL has numerous flaws. That there are three bills in the State House of Representatives and one bill in the State Senate, authors hope to fix. Why would we pass a flawed PTEL in Madison County? The biggest flaw? PTEL would raise taxes. The major flaw of PTEL becomes readily apparent when we consider the possible impact on county taxing entities. These include municipalities, fire, police, school, and water districts. For example, if PTEL passed, it appears the taxes for the citizens of District 3, which I represent, would go up radically. Municipalities' taxes could be increased in the following ways. Grant Fork, 35.04%. Hamel, 99.44%. Highland, 12.54%. New Douglas, 34.66%. Piron, 86.12%. Warden, 8.09%. Other districts will see the following gains. Hamel Ambulance, 42.38%, Highland Piron Ambulance, 48.35%, and Warden Ambulance, 15.03%. Areas outside my district would also be adversely affected. Bethalto Municipality Tax would probably go up 20.83%. Godfrey, 196.77%. Livingston, 138.04%. Roxana, 103.58%. Troy, 59.50%. Williamson, 77.45%. And Wood River, 38.39%.
We get the point.
We get the point.
You're welcome. But I would like to point out that we did due diligence in the Tax Cycle Committee, and I want to thank the clerk and the treasurer's office for providing these figures, or they would have never come to light. If this referendum reaches the fall ballot, many people will be impacted. And in home rule municipalities who are allowed to vote, they wouldn't be impacted at all. Approximately 35,000 voters who aren't impacted will decide on the taxes of others.
Thank you.
I think we should affirm the Government Relations Committee.
Ms. Novosich.
I just wanted to say that I thought that as the resolution reads here on G2, resolution to place a public question on the November 2018 ballot for consideration in the matter of the property tax extension limitation law, then Mr. Moore would say, you know, it was voted down by their committee, and a vote no would go along with that committee recommendation rather than the confusion of the voting yes would to be no. Not to adopt. No. So I, you know, I just want to make sure that everybody's clear on what we're going to vote on before
we
vote.
We'll do everything possible to make that clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, I would like to go next to Ms. Dutton.
I'm just wondering if, since there's so much confusion, could we make a motion to table this? I don't recall. I know I'm fairly new, but I don't recall us ever voting something down in committee and then it's still coming here, which it very well could be.
Would you like to make that
motion?
I would
like examples. I would like to make a motion to table it.
Second. Second.
Do we have a second?
God.
She said she would like an example.
We've had a motion to table, and we did have a second.
I have a question.
Who seconded it?
I did.
Mr. Jones?
Yep.
Who seconded?
Mr. Jones.
Jones, second.
Hit your button.
Yes. So, as we understand, no discussion on a motion to table. So, if we could go, this would be to table this resolution.
Would a point of order? Would is your recommendation that we table this indefinitely?
We went back once.
Ms. Dutton, this is your motion to table. And there's a question, but I don't think that she said that. She said just it's a
if
motion
it's
to table.
Temporary, what happens? If
it could come back.
But somebody has to bring it up, right?
Well, the committee can rewrite it or whatever. Yeah, you're tabling it as a current motion.
A table, by definition, is indefinite.
Well, this
until it's pulled off the table.
I'm just going to say temporarily until we discuss it.
Then that would be a motion to postpone for a particular period.
Well, no, a motion to table is indefinite. So this is not a motion to postpone. This is a motion to table.
Yeah. So you'd have to withdraw.
And we do have a second.
That's why I asked the originator of the motion what her intent was.
Just for my clarification, it was voted down at committee.
Right.
Right. Where is it going back to committee?
It's going to be voted down again.
So it's the committee will not bring it back up. It was voted down.
Thank you.
It's, as I understand it, it's not going back to committee. It's being tabled.
Table.
Point of order. We don't have discussion on this. It's a motion to table.
No,
and a motion to table is indefinite, so we need to vote on that.
Yes.
I have a question.
Is everyone clear on this?
I'm not clear.
Ms. Kuhn?
This was a unanimous vote in committee.
Yes.
Okay. Now.
We're discussing this.
He made a motion. Mr. Chapman seconded it. So once that was done,
we can't discuss. We have to vote.
We must vote. This is a motion to table. A motion to table is not a motion to postpone. It's not a motion to go back to committee. Correct, Mr. Wesley? It's indefinite. So we have a motion. We don't have discussion on a motion to table. So we have a motion to table. We have a second. And let's call the question. Motion to table. Motion carries. Let's move back to the agenda. And Ms. Dutton, if you could please bring in the resolution first by itself, the resolution to realign the Mental Health Board member terms.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Fellow board members, we have for your consideration a resolution to realign Mental Health Board member terms. You might recall we tabled this at last month's meeting. I'm asking first for a motion to remove this from the table, and then next for a motion to vote in favor of this resolution, which passed unanimously in County Institutions Committee.
I'll make the motion to take it off the table.
Second.
We have a motion and a seconded. Any discussion on the resolution to realign the Mental Health Board member terms? Hearing. Okay.
Take it off the table.
We're taking it off the table. So everybody's clear.
Okay.
We're voting to remove it from the table.
We're bringing it back off the table. Okay. So now we're only voting to bring it off the table. Thank you for that clarification. Roll call to bring this resolution off the table.
Mind?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
You can only vote once, Mr. Chapman.
Motion carries. Ms. Dutton, the resolution is now off the table. Would you like to bring that back?
Sure. I'd like to make a motion that we vote in favor of the resolution to realign the Mental Health Board member terms, again, which passed unanimously.
Do we have a second?
Yes.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Okay, we now have the two gentlemen that are recommended for appointments. Would anyone like to consider them independently?
Now we're going here. Make a motion to approve the two new members.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Mr. Chairman.
Opposed?
Mr. Chairman, we have questions.
There was no discussion.
Well, I asked if anyone wanted to consider them separately, and no one said anything.
Well, but they have a discussion on the actual motion.
Oh, okay. Well, let's discuss. Do you want to discuss them separately or together?
Together's fine with me.
Okay, together is fine. All right, so both of them are up for discussion at this point. Mr. Minner?
I can't support these two people. I don't even know who they are, but I do know Ms. Charbonnier and Ms. Wallace, and they've done an excellent job. I've always felt that there's the administration has an agenda dealing with Ms. Ross, and I think she's done a wonderful job, and so I cannot support these appointments. Thank you.
Mr. Petrillo?
I can't support these two individuals myself. If I might, first of all, I'd like to bring to your attention that these are both men that belong to the same hospital system. They're affiliated with the same hospital system. They represent a small area in our community. In the past, we have always tried to be diversified in terms of areas of our county that we represent, and all of a sudden it appears like most of our nominees are going to come from Glen Carbon or Maryville. And I don't think that's a fair representation for this board. Also, I think we need to consider that some of us, I know in our minds, we're saying, you know, this has gone long enough. Let's make a decision. Let's move on. Let's get past this. If I may, I would suggest to you, if that's your mindset, when you make a decision such as this, you probably ought to consider doing something different, because that's what we're elected to do, to represent. And we're supposed to do the best job we can in serving this community-wide, this whole county, and I don't feel that we're doing that. I might also point out that when we approved the Mental Health Board in terms of its terms that are to be served, we have a gentleman by the name of Mr. Baker, who in good faith we agreed and approved him when he in actuality will serve 5 years and not a 4-year. That disturbed me a little bit, but I've gotten to know Mr. Baker a little bit, and I think he's done a fairly good job up to this time. We all have our questions at various times. I also think there's something, two other things I'd like to mention. If you notice, we are taking Charlotte Charbonnier, who has a child that has challenges. She has firsthand information of how those are dealt with in the various agencies that deal with those children. We also have Ms. Wallace, who has worked in that area for a considerable amount of time, so she is very much aware of these various agencies that we provide and help with money to take care of their needs. Also, I'd like to point out to you that there's 7 members to this board. We're taking 2 women, and we're going to replace them with 2 men. That's 7 men. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is my own personal preference, and it may fall in line with you, or you may feel that men can handle things far better than women. I don't know. But I would say that 2-7 ratio is not a bad ratio. I would even agree with 3-4, whether it be 3 women or 4 women. But I would like to see a little more diversity in terms of, well, rather than having 7 men. I would also like to see that we get out of a small area of representation and I'd like us to see us broaden as we once had been, and now we're closing that circle. The last thing I want to bring to your attention is this, how it's stated. Both say, for appointment to a four-year term, replacing. This is not a four-year term. The way it's stated is misguiding. They will not be serving a four-year term. They will be finishing a term that presently exists. So what we're looking at here, and if you will, notice as you look further down, we do have dates of people that when they resigned, when their appointment expires, we have that information. We don't have this up here. This, to me, I consider misleading. I would hope that you would follow me on this particular section of appointments and vote no, please.
Nick, you can amend that if you like.
I want to clarify that these are some of the best people that I could find for this board. Mr. Nasaka manages five hospitals for health. It's Hospital Sisters Health Systems, HSHS, including the new $300 million O'Fallon, St. Elizabeth's Hospital in O'Fallon, the hospital in Highland, St. Anthony's in Effingham, the hospital in Breeze, and one other. So he manages hospitals all over Illinois. Number two, Dr. Malcharek is building a new office in Collinsville Township. And so I think we have, they're well aware of the medical needs in various areas. Mr. Michael.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and fellow board members. I just want to say, first of all, I'm voting yes on both of these individuals. I think they're highly qualified. Quite frankly, I don't care what the gender or race is of any of our mental health board members. I care if they're qualified. This would be the only board member that we would appoint that actually is a licensed medical professional, unless I'm wrong. He's the only doctor. So we're going to say that some people who are...
Not correct.
So who else is a doctor? If I'm wrong, I'm seriously interested.
We dismissed one. Not correct.
Sorry? Okay, well, nobody currently on the board, as far as I know, is a doctor according to any of the bios that I've read. And I've asked for him and I've read him. He'd be the only doctor that's on the board. So to sit here and say the person's
not qualified.
That's
because you removed a doctor from the board.
Please don't interrupt.
Mr. Pedrillo, if you would please refrain from interrupting and address the chair.
I apologize. I need to tell you, Chair, that I am very passionate about this. And I think what we have here is we have...
Mr. Pedrillo, I'm sorry.
All right, I'm sorry.
You apologize. Thank you.
No, I appreciate your passion. I appreciate everybody's passion. But to say this person's not qualified, but other people are, who are small business owners, to be on a mental health board, when we heard from person after person a few meetings a few months ago who said we need qualified individuals. We sat here and heard our public commenters say that. This is a qualified individual. I don't know how somebody can say that a licensed medical doctor is not. The other individual operates five different hospitals that are very well known, especially out east in the Highland area. They run St. Joseph's in Highland, I believe, St. Joseph and Breeze as well. And I commend the chairman for finding these two, and I thank the current people for their service, and this is nothing against them, but there's also something we said of having new eyes on the board, which is something I strongly believe in. I will term limit myself. I know I'm not going to be here 10 years from now. I can guarantee it, and I think we need changes on all these boards. So I will strongly support these for both those reasons.
I would also like to address that I did put up for appointment to women. They were not approved by this board. Mr. Asadorian.
Yes. First of all, I want to state that I personally know Charlotte Charbonnier, and she has poured her life into this because of her personal situation and has served this committee very well. Secondly, I'd like to bring up the point that for years we've had a de facto member, a member of our board, sit on that committee. And for years it's been Mr. Petrillo. And I don't see anywhere where he's being reappointed or we're appointing another board member. but this is the kind of committee that we should have direct contact with from a board member. And so if it's possible, can I amend this to include Mr. Petrillo as
cannot. An appointment is a prerogative of the chair. Yeah.
Well, we're not replacing a position that's not that is expired.
No, it's out of order.
Okay, but anyway, so yeah. let me finish by saying I'm going to listen to Mr. Petrillo because he has been heavily involved in this, and I'm going to go by his recommendation.
Mr. Chairman, can we just
I'm sorry.
Can we suspend discussion and move to the vote?
Any further discussion? Ms. Hawkins?
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, can I clarify something?
Yes, Ms. Dalton.
The Institution Committee, we have worked long and hard to get the dates right. So therefore, the people that you're asking for us to give four-year terms, they will be completing terms. The one would be for 3 years, and the second one would be for 2 years. They are not four-year terms, or it's going to throw everything off again that we've worked so hard to get straightened out.
Thank you. Ms. Dutton?
I do agree with what Liz is saying, and I, along with Erica Harris, Nick, we've had several meetings with Jen Roth, and Jen Roth worked very hard on the timeline to come up with realigning these dates. I mean, she went back to 1966, made a huge timeline, and put a lot of hard work into that to get this back on point.
Ms.
And
Dutton, excuse me. I think that the person here who put the four-year term intended to comply with...
Sure, that's what I'm getting to.
We can amend that on the board floor.
Yeah.
Right now.
Anyway.
Point of order.
Can I not be interrupted? I was not finished. I have a lot to say.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm very passionate about this, too, Nick, and I appreciate all the time and effort you've put into it and your service on that board. I know it means a lot to you. I am not saying that the two people that could possibly be replaced are not good people who have worked hard and have abilities to do the job. Maybe since we've had so much discussion on this and I said in many times in meetings that realigning these terms was just the first step of a bigger issue, and that is how do we keep this board, you know, a 7-member board and not replacing too many at once and one time. So maybe, I believe, and Liz, correct me if I'm wrong, we talked about realigning these, but then we said maybe we should appoint at a later date. I know it is your prerogative. There are five currently serving that are de facto that need to either be replaced or reappointed. Is anyone else in the feeling that maybe we could,
Ms. Dutton,
table this for appointments for next month once we all talk about this again? I know we invited all the county board members to attend our county institutions meeting. We even moved the location so that everybody could understand what we're doing here.
Ms. Dutton, it was my intention when I put up these people for appointments that I would be complying with the new resolution.
Sure. They should be 4-year terms, so they stay staggered. But the people replacing Charlotte and Christine... Charlotte would, the person replacing Charlotte's would end in 2021, and the other one would end in 2020. They are 4-year terms for the seats. The resolution just realigned the seats, not necessarily the people sitting in those seats.
Ms. Dutton, would you like to make a motion to amend this appointment so that the David Nasaka's term would end December 31st, 2021, and Christine Wallace's Dr. Malcharek's appointment would end December 31st, 2020. Would that bring the appointment in line? Would you like to make that motion?
Point of information first.
Yes.
I see some concern among the clerk. If you would please speak to this.
I,
Personally, I don't think it's necessary to amend the resolution since in the resolution it states the terms. I mean, it says 4 year, but the term ending dates are part of the resolution.
Yeah, I agree. That's
so true. May we move forward then, please?
So I think the point is well taken. I think that the 4 year term could have been stated better. It was actually the term for Mr. Nasaka that's proposed would end, is that correct, Ms. Dutton? December 31st, 2021. And the term for, proposed for Dr. Mulcheric would end December 31st, 2020.
Yes.
Is that correct?
And I would like to add that Mr. Asadorian is correct when he says that Nick Petrillo is still de facto. I mean, there are three seats even after this that are in question that need to be brought up. So,
Mr. Petrillo will serve until replaced.
Sure.
So, Mr. Petrillo is not an issue with these appointments.
Mr. Chairman,
yes, Mr.
clarification with the attorney. So, the intent of this is that they will serve the remaining terms, and the intent carries along with the what we're passing here, right? The intent is a clarification of that.
Yes. Ms. Dutton and I and Ms. Harris and Ms. Roth spent a considerable amount of time, and Mr. Petrillo spent a considerable amount of time making sure that the original seats were, that we were able to trace back the original seats, and what we're doing is realigning those right. original seats. I will state that we also wanted to make sure that no individual, in this case the chairman, has the right to make seven choices in 18 months, which could conceivably happen. That's not what was the intent of the original statute either. So the picks that are being made now are appropriate in order to realign, and then subsequently you're going to have to make a decision as to whether any other appointments are appropriate in alignment with the statute.
So to clarify these appointments, Mr. Nasaka's appointment, his term would end December 31st, 2021. And Dr. Melcharek's, his appointment would end December 31st, 2020, according to the resolution.
Yes.
Okay, so that's a clarification. Any further discussion? Yes. Anyone who would like to speak for the first time? Mr. Walters.
Yeah, I've listened to what people are saying, you know, the passion. I've got it, too. I work with several facilities in the county that deal with handicapped individuals, and I've talked to them. I've spoke to them what their thoughts on, and they said, you know, the change comes, change goes. They said, we just don't want people that are going to go on there and get rid of giving out money. I said, that's never going to happen. The 708 boards run well, and it will continue to run well. But when I gave them names, the two gentlemen, they looked at it and they said, how can I say no to them? So the facilities that I work with are very happy with the two people that you pick. So, again, I'm passionate too, but I think that's the right thing.
Thank you, Mr. Holliday.
Are we voting on the two gentlemen as well as the dates and everything combined? This is just the important.
Yeah, the terms have been set per the resolution, and I think this resolution for the appointments could have been better stated on the agenda. Any other? Would anyone else like to speak for the first time? Yes, Mr. Moore.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Just a question for you. Do you have any intentions in the near term to appoint other members to this board? And my concern is all the effort that's been has been mentioned, the staggering of these terms, and not to have overnight loss of corporate knowledge and experience coming.
Let me say that when in December we had five board members, and the county clerk's office told me that five board members, their terms were expiring in December of 2017, correct? So that was what came from the county clerk. After that, I have not been able to successfully appoint another member of the mental health board. I have compromised my opinions by agreeing to the resolution, and this evening I've tried to find the very best qualified people. I did bring two women forward. They were rejected, okay? They were not appointed, and so that's what we're doing, only two this evening. So this is per the resolution that was worked out with great effort with Ms. Dutton, Ms. Harris, and Mr. Ezra. Yes, Mr. McCray?
Well, I was just going to say that, you know, I did talk with Mr. Nosaka, and I did specifically ask him. I asked him about his background. He seems to be a very accomplished gentleman, very articulate and knowledgeable of the mental health field, which I would have expected from a man who runs numerous hospitals. I also asked him just point blank, do you have any personnel, do you have an agenda with any personnel issues that you're aware of that you you think you need to make immediate changes? And he said, absolutely not. He was actually, you know, he seemed to be surprised by the question, and I was a little embarrassed to even ask it because I actually would have assumed that from a person of his, you know, he's fairly high up in the organization, and that, and not to give someone a fair chance would be something I think that would be foreign to him. And with regard to the nurse practitioner, who was up for nomination before, and her credibility or criteria, her background was questioned. She actually had a PhD in psychiatric nursing, and so she was very well qualified and was a nurse practitioner who dealt in the primary care setting. And just like Dr. Masharik, if I'm pronouncing his name right, any internist who is a practicing internist sees mental health issues, I would say, on a daily basis. And that's why there's so much Prozac and all that kind of thing sold in the United States. So as far as their qualifications go, I think these two are infinitely qualified. And I, you know, I would support their nomination tonight. But I also share the concern that the three other people, I would ask you to tap the brakes on those, and because I think there would be reluctance to have wholesale change among this board. Thank you.
Yes, I think that that concern about tapping the brakes was taken care of by the resolution. Okay. Yes. Any other? Would anyone else like to speak for the first time? Mr. Petrillo.
Yes, I do realize at the very beginning you were given information that wasn't absolutely correct, and over the period of time you did make that adjustment. And we all were working, quite frankly, on that same type of assumption. And at that point in time, we found out that this is supposed to be staggered. For whatever reason, this county board did not do that. It kind of did a little blank pass it on. I might also say, and I could be corrected on this, and you can do it, and it'd be fine. I apologize if I'm wrong. But we didn't really not vote two women on. If I recall, it was part of a group. We didn't do that individually. We didn't look at each individual person. I think at that point in time, they were part of a group of people, and it wasn't about them individually. It was about the process. So to say that we've had women put up before and not voted on is not actually correct. Yes, they have been put up, but they have not been voted on individually. Second of all, to our attorney, you know, we've had in the past, we've had agendas similar to this, and we had...
Point of order, this does not concern the appointments.
Yes, it does have to do with the appointments.
This is in regard to the resolution we already passed.
Mr. Petrillo, you have a question regarding...
It does have to do with the appointments. It absolutely does. Because what happened to us in the past, we were misled when we constantly use the terms for your term. And you look at your agenda, and people make assumptions.
Mr. Petrillo, I don't think that is germane to what we're talking about here. I mean, well, that's history far, far, far away in terms of what took place years ago.
We have
the terms established now per the resolution. That's the first thing we voted on.
Right. Well, everywhere else you had pointed out the date to be expired, and for whatever reason we chose not to use those terms, which I believe to help you and help all of us would probably be more correct so that they understood when they looked at this that it had dates of expiration.
Thank you. Mr. Chapman?
Yes, I would hate to see these appointments talked to death. The previous administration failed to replace people on this board in a timely manner. He left this administration a tremendous problem. You have grabbed a bull by the horns and made some movement, which I'm appreciative of. The previous resolution, or we just passed, corrected the problem.
Point of order. This is not germane to the appointments.
And there are two eminently qualified people. I'm speaking to these people. Their bios are magnificent. And I commend Mr. Walters if he brought these names to you. Thank you.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to discuss this issue? Okay, hearing none, roll call.
Mr. Chairman, while we're voting, I have to leave like 30 minutes ago, so
if you can be excused. Thank you, Mr. Asadorian. Motion carries. To the Executive Committee, Mr. Walters, would you please bring in the resolution approving the collective bargaining agreement?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen. We have a resolution approving the collective bargaining agreement between Madison County Board and the Sheriff of Madison County and the Police Benevolent Labor Committee, and I ask for your approval.
Second. We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Madison, on behalf of the Facilities Management Committee and the Finance and Government Operations Committee, could you please bring in the two resolutions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, fellow board members. Facilities Management, Finance and Government Operations Committees have two items for your consideration. One, a resolution to award contract for the Madison County parking lot concrete replacement, repairs and improvements at the Madison County Courthouse Administration Building for Madison County Facilities Management, and two, a resolution to renew lawn maintenance services contract for designated county facilities approved by AFSCME, and I move for their adoption.
We have a second. Any discussion? Roll call. Motion carries. Ms. Champoli is not here. Is there anyone here to bring in the resolutions, the items from
McCray.
Mr. McCray, would you like to bring in the items for the Financing to Government Operations Committee?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The Finance Committee has one resolution to be considered tonight. We have a revised resolution to purchase 10 new model 2018 police utility all-wheel drive replacement vehicles for the Madison County Sheriff's Department. This was approved by the reviewed and approved by the entire Finance Committee, and I would make a motion for its adoption.
Mr. McCray, would you mind bringing in E at the same time?
I'll bring in G.
E.
I'm sorry. We have a summary report of claims and transfers. We have an immediate emergency appropriation for the 2018 EMA September 11th grant, and as well as a resolution authorizing the settlement of a workman's compensation claim file number 17002. These have been reviewed by the entire Finance Committee and approved unanimously. I would make a motion for their adoption.
We have a second.
Second.
Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Jones, on behalf of the Grants Committee, could you please bring in, you have a lot here, don't you?
Yes.
All these resolutions. You want to do them all at once? Well, do you have the breath for that?
I was going to do H, and then we can do I.
Do H and I
right.
Together.
You're doing only H?
I'll do H first.
Okay.
One, two. I think we'll have to pull some others out on the other one. All right. Mr. Chairman and fellow board members, I'd like to make a motion to approve a resolution authorizing submission of the fiscal year 2018 Community Development Action Plan. Also, a resolution authorizing a park and recreation loan to the Village of Hamel.
Second. We do have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Jones, if you could bring in the additional resolutions on behalf of the Grants Committee.
Would anybody like me to separate any of these out? Ann? Ann?
Any of them with the Madison County Workforce Board?
3, 4, 5, and 6. Yeah.
Unless. Can I abstain? I guess they'll you have to pull them separately.
I'll pull them out. All right. Bring forward resolutions 1 and 2. The first is a resolution authorizing the warehouse lease at America Central Port for the Madison County Weatherization Program. Second resolution is a resolution authorizing Madison County Community Development to host a countywide summit focused on creating a network which will assist Madison County residents who are in crisis situations.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call on one and two.
Right.
Motion carries. Mr. Jones, back to you.
All right. I'll bring forward resolutions 3, 4, and 5. First, a resolution authorizing approval of a vendor for in-school youth programming in Madison County for the Madison County Employment and Training Department. Two, a resolution authorizing approval of a vendor for out-of-school youth programming in Madison and Bond Counties for the Madison County Employment and Training Department. Three is a resolution authorizing approval of a one-stop operator, the Madison County American Job Center, for Madison Bond Workforce Innovation Board. Four is a resolution authorizing approval of a contract-sized agreement of the Madison County Employment and Training Department for the Madison Bond Workforce Innovation Board.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Mr. Madison, could you please bring in the resolutions from the Planning and Development Committee?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, fellow board members. Planning and Development Committee has zoning resolutions Z180023, which is an RV park. It was denied, and a yes vote would be to uphold the committee's decision, and it was approved unanimously to deny that. Z180030 was also approved unanimously. Z180029 was approved unanimously with some conditions, and Z180024 was approved unanimously. Item 2 is a resolution authorizing the demolition of unsafe buildings and structures. All resolutions were approved unanimously, and I move for their adoption.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Motion carries. Ms. Glasper, would you please bring in the report on behalf of the Public Safety Committee?
Yes, Mr. Chairman and fellow board members. Your Public Safety Committee would like to submit its report covering licenses, and I ask that it be placed on file.
Thank you. Mr. Chapman, on behalf of the Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee, could you please bring in perhaps separately the two resolutions?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board, I move the property trustee resolution unanimously passed by the Tax Cycle Committee on Tuesday, June 5th, 2018, be adopted.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, roll call. Mr. Chapman, on behalf of the Real Estate Tax Cycle Committee. Oh, motion carries. I'm sorry.
Oh. We've got number two.
We've got number two. Yes, yes. Mr. Chapman, could you please bring in the resolution? We're voting only on one, the property trustee resolution. Sorry. So that motion carries. Mr. Chapman, could you please bring in the resolution to present an advisory public question?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, I move the resolution to present an advisory public question via a countywide referendum on whether units of government in Madison County shall first obtain voter approval by advisory referendum before incurring bond debt, which unanimously was approved by the Tax Cycle Committee on June 5th, 2018, be adopted.
We have a second. Any discussion? Yes, Mr. Malone.
Yeah, just for my own way of thinking here, I would assume that this would pass countywide. And when you put the advisory referendum, we're not going to have special elections. You're going to wait till the next scheduled election?
It would be on the fall ballot, sir.
Or the spring ballot or whatever ballot?
It would be this particular resolution would be on the fall ballot.
I'm talking about the second part. If it passes and whatever taxing body wants to do a bond, we're not going to have a special election. They'll have to wait until a spring election or a fall election.
If the state's attorney will, we did get legal sufficiency from the state's attorney's office, so let him answer this question.
Mr. Malone, this is advisory only. It has no binding effect whatsoever. There will not be any subsequent legislation in front of this body to vote on it, and it will not appear on the ballot again in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you.
It's merely an advisory question. That's it.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Mr. Chapman.
I support the non-binding advisory recurring bond debt resolution. Current bonding practices deny voters an ability to weigh in with government on non-voter-approved bond debt. This backdoor referendum process allows government to bind citizens to generations of bond debt. The process is frequently initiated during months when it is predictably difficult to successfully conduct a petition drive in a limited amount of time. This bond debt always involves interest. The backdoor referendum process is illegal in Missouri. Elected officials have sometimes told citizens opposing backdoor referendums that voters live in a republic and therefore have the power to let bonds seemingly oblivious to the heavy tax burden already laid on Illinois taxpayers. I think the time has come for Madison County taxpayers to express their view to units of government to which they pay taxes and in which they reside. Therefore, I call upon the County Board to vote yes for allowing the recurring bond debt resolution, which reads, shall all units of government within Madison County first seek approval from the voters by advisory referendum before incurring any debt? Yes, no. Thank you.
Yes, Ms. Gorman.
I'm sorry, with all due respect, why are we doing this if there's nothing we're going to do about it? We're asking to send another message, so we're going to go to the public and ask them to vote on something, but we're not going to do anything about it. I don't get it.
Mr. Michael?
I'm sorry, did somebody say it's an election year?
Mr. Malone.
Seriously?
I didn't say it, but can
Mr. Michael.
My feeling, Ms. Gorman, and not that I'm perfect or anything, but at first I had your same questions, but I think if you are, say, a township or a school board, this should give you a good sense of how your own individual district that you represent thinks. I know we think of it as a county as a whole, but it could give a good idea about how, say, St. Jacob or Livingston or Marine thinks, and you can look at how your own district decided and how they voted, and maybe that makes you think once or twice or three times before issuing a backdoor referendum. That's my thought. I do see some positives in it. Maybe I'm wrong, but...
Okay, so if we have the same logic, and strike me now, do we want to bring PTEL up as an advisory resolution for the public to discuss and decide on? I mean, this is getting to be a joke.
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Madison.
I get a kick out of the people in the room. It's one party that's saying they want everybody to have their constitutional rights, and they're saying, but they don't want them to speak. And I don't understand this at all. I think that this is a message that needs to be sent. This may have some teeth. We may get something accomplished with this after something like this comes out, because it's a travesty that any taxing body or any government body here in Madison County or in Illinois, the backdoor referendum is no longer backdoor, it's front door. That is the way to do it. And it takes a fairly large percentage of voters to go out and get that to where it has to be put on the ballot. If the government wants to spend a large sum of money outside of what the taxpayers are currently paying them, they should have the permission of the voters, because it's their money. It is the taxpayers' money. And that is absolutely how it should be done. And the government body should have to sell the project that they want to the people paying for it.
Ms. Gorman, just let me ask if anyone else would like to speak for the first time on this issue. Mr. McCray. Well,
I think what this does is it draws attention to the backdoor referendums, which I think are used way too often. And I know there's one now that because relatively small boards, and they're all well-intentioned, but library boards, and an example I think here locally is Glen Carbon, is going to, their board, the fire district board, has voted to sell $6 million worth of bonds to build a new firehouse. And I think really the proper thing would be to offer that to the voters and say, do you authorize us to sell $6 million? And put the burden on the boards to sell this to the property taxpayers who will end up, paying for the debt. And so I think it draws attention to these backdoor referendums, which I think are used way too often, and it focuses the light on them and lets people know that we are aware of it and we're trying to do something. That's what I see the logic in.
Thank you. Ms. Gorman?
Yeah, all due respect, and I appreciate this, but my point is not to bring this out, not to bring it to the public. I have no issue with that. But what you're telling me is we're going to do something advisory and we can't act on it. If you want to put some meat behind something you believe in, make it a resolution and present it to the county and stick by it. But don't do it just for advisory purposes.
Well, it's a state statute.
That you have to go out to do it as an advisory? And then we were just said that no matter what people say about it, we're not going to do anything about it?
It's not binding. We can't make it binding. I wish we could.
We can't tell the state what to do.
Well, wait a minute.
We can try.
I thought that's what the message was on the previous.
We can tell them what we want them to do, but it doesn't mean they have to do it.
God.
Okay. Would anyone else like to speak? Yes, Mr. Chapman.
I would only like to point out in discussion, this is a point of information, that when we conferred with the state's attorney's office about this, we did get the green light legally, and we were cautioned that we must not go past what is proper by statute. And if I understand correctly, what Ms. Gorman was just suggesting would not be legally feasible.
Ms. Gorman?
It's my third time. Is it okay?
That's fine.
Two and a half.
Two and a half. Again, my point here is I have no issue and think we should go out to the public for a number of these items. But if we're going to do that, let's either not do it at advisory and let's stand behind what we believe in instead of doing it for political reasons. And I think that's what the first comment was. It's for political reasons, and I don't buy that. We're not here to do that.
Point of order. I always appreciate Ms. Gorman's opinion, and I have high respect for her. She's very professional. However, she's spoken four times, and the rule says twice.
I asked permission, Phil. I'm sorry.
No, I did give her permission because would anyone else like to speak for the first time?
Someone's making chicken tracks.
Okay. I'd like to call the question. I think we've had a full discussion. This is so if we could please have a roll call on the resolution to present an advisory public question via the countywide referendum.
Yeah.
Motion carries. Mr. McCray, could you please bring in the items from the Transportation Committee?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. The Transportation Committee has a number of resolutions to bring into for review tonight. We have a resolution providing for the participation in the comprehensive transportation planning under the East-West Gateway Coordinating Council. We have a utility relocation funding resolution for Siler Road Reconstruction Project. We have a report of bids award contract for Gateway Commerce Center Drive North. We have an agreement for construction engineering services for Gateway Commerce Center Drive North. We have an ordinance and resolution for the establishment of an altered speed zone. We have an agreement funding resolution for Broadway St. Rose Iberg Roundabout with the City of Highland. And we have an agreement funding resolution for Black Lane over Canteen Canal Bridge reconstruction with the City of Collinsville. And these were reviewed by the Transportation Committee and unanimously adopted. I would make a motion for their approval.
So moved.
We have a second. Any discussion?
I'll note that there's no Siler Road on there for whoever.
Second.
Okay. Hearing no discussion, roll call. Motion carries. Before we go to new business, I'd like to go to the Madison County Board of Health agenda. Mr. Holliday, would you please bring in the report?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen of the board, I ask that the activity report be placed on file. I also, it's been a long meeting. We did have a film scheduled, just like if you would do that at the next meeting, we would appreciate it.
You're having mercy on us.
Yes, I am.
Thank you very much. So we do have a 14-minute video that Mr. Holliday was going to present to us, but he has graciously, if that's allowable, graciously permitted us to consider that and review that in the next meeting. Oh, if we could, I'm sorry. If I could have a motion to approve the minutes for the March 21st, 2018 meeting.
So moved.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, do we have any new business?
I have a question. Mr. Chairman, here.
Ms. Kuhn.
And this is for State's Attorney. I just wanted to know, I understand that it's following Robert's Rules of Order that we bring something to committee, even though it failed committee. I'm talking about PTIL and government relations. What I don't understand, it failed committee unanimously. And according to Robert's Rule of Order, I know you're right, you still have to bring it here. What purpose does the committee serve since it failed unanimously? You can come here and table it? I don't understand that.
Well, number of things. One, in committee, the committee can do anything that you guys can do. You can table it, you can put it on, you can. But once it is voted upon, because that is potential final action, only the board can take final action. So a negative or a positive vote on a resolution must come before you, and a yes vote is a vote for what the committee is recommending. That is a denial, a denial of the resolution. You're voting to approve what the committee has voted upon, and that is a denial. That would be what a yes vote is.
Yeah, and to that, I'd like to say to Mr. Madison, good job, because he had such a situation with
yes, we just had one, and that got
still down there. I can't see. Oh, there he is. Yeah, hey. Hey, Mr. Madison, you did a good job in presenting that. We knew how to do it. And also, whomever was responsible for these chairs, thanks. They're pretty comfortable. They're not too bad.
I think the taxpayers are responsible.
Mr. Chairman.
Any additional new business?
If I may. Mr. Chairman.
Yes, Mr. McCray.
I'm just going to say, you know, we had an important issue tonight. We decided finally on the Metro East Sanitary District appointment. And I don't want to belabor the meeting, but I do think that people really worked hard to try to find the right person, the right fit. And it was disturbing to me that the Illinois State Legislature reached down, a legislature that is over essentially a bankrupt state and a state where 100,000 people left last year. Mm-hmm. And they decided to weigh in on the Metro East Sanitary District. And I would just tell them that if people are disturbed by whatever happened with the appointment tonight, that they should really call the Illinois their legislator rather than a county board member, because I think it was an overreach, and it was very disturbing to me to see them weigh in on that.
Thank you. Any additional new business? I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
We made it.
No, you're fucking. It's hard for me to keep it. I only have so much brain. Disney World.
I try never to do it with anybody else. But it knocks me off.
I'm not sure if that's true, but
no problem. No problem.
That's
right. We got some things.
Good job.
Well, welcome to your first one. Are you the second one?
The one thing that could have been done a little better would have been. Thank you, Kim. You stayed to give me my phone back.
Hey, how you doing?
Thank you, Kim.
Well, that was the one I canceled July 5th. Well, I'm trying to do this as Lady Lion.
I understand.
After a while, I don't care.
I hated to see you under there.
Pardon me for just one moment.
Nick, you need to call Andy and see if you're going to have a form of conflict, but no, we can do it.
All right, well, good meeting. I think I gave out most of my other copies. Did you want me to send you? I'm sure you did. Wait a minute. Let me make sure. And I think I sent you the statistics on PTEL. That's why.